Well, greetings and salutations. I'm Jeff Fredericks, and on the line is Patrick Soyka, founder of Rewards Canada, the definitive source for all things rewards programs. Today is Monday, May 15th, 2017, and this is episode number 27 of the Rewards Canada Weekly Roundup Podcast. As always, our goal is to help you maximize your earning potential and get the most out of whatever rewards program you belong to. Each week, we highlight the best in reward point deals and bonuses. We also cover all relevant industry news, including program updates, enhancements, and changes. And, of course, we'll reveal the tip of the week to help you stay on top of your game. So, let's get on with the show. All right, so, as many of you know, Air Canada's decision to pull out of Aeroplan was a shock to most of the 5 million Aeroplan members. The announcement also sent Aeroplan owner Aimia Inc.'s stock tumbling by more than 60%. Our guest today is Tony Chapman, a keynote speaker, moderator, media personality, and consultant. Welcome, Tony, and thanks for being on our show.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so Tony, let's start. I want to know, how surprised were you by yesterday's announcement?
I was surprised because it was something that was unexpected, but looking at it, it's almost what took them so long. This is the right move for Air Canada to make. I applaud them for it. I feel bad for the Aeroplan folks because they've got blindsided, but if I was Air Canada, I absolutely want my hand on the rudder in terms of running my own loyalty program.
So, now, you believe the loyalty landscape is changing as big brands look to bring their loyalty programs in-house. Explain what you mean by that.
Well, there's two reasons. The first is that we're seeing in a marketplace in general, there's no middle ground anymore. You either have the value-seeker consumers where price is the only tiebreaker. And I think in the airline business and hospitality, that's moving to consolidators like Expedia, Bookings.com, which can let you shop at leisure for the point where you have the best price, the least path to resistance to it. The other side is your frequent clients. They're the ones that they're going to trade up. They're going to buy your premium airline seats, your better hotel rooms. They're the ones you need to hold on to. They're the ones that account for, there's a small minority of people, they account for the majority of your profits. So the first thing you want to do is make sure you control how you reward them and how you lavish them with attention. And that's not only how they search for your product, how they buy it, what happens when they're there, and the loyalty that you reward with them afterwards. You can't outsource any of that to a third party if you're going to hope to kind of give them the kind of attention that they feel they deserve and you need to deliver to keep them loyal.
Right. Now it also sounds like this move could be a significant revenue play for Air Canada and worth as much as $2 billion over the next 15 years. Now, while there aren't many details about the new program, how do you think this move could positively impact Air Canada customers?
Two things happened with Air Canada's announcement. The first is they want to be fully in control of their frequent flyer. That's where they make most of their profit, and they can't surrender any part of that customer journey to a third party like Aeroplan. So they made a bold move yesterday. It was a necessary move. What does that mean for Aeroplan? Well, Aeroplan is now offering points on an airline that no longer is really going to take those points. Yes, they'll take them to 2020, and yes, they'll take them on Air Canada, but they've already taken Star Alliance off the table. So Aeroplan holders are starting to say that card that I thought had currency has just lost a lot of currency. So Aeroplan is going to have a hard time holding on to those members. People are going to do one of two things. Yeah, they'll wait and see to see what Air Canada comes up with, or two, they'll migrate to credit cards that allow you to buy across the entire field.
Okay. Now, do you think that this will then trigger a stampede as Aeroplan members look to cash out? Do you think this announcement will having them, just cashing out ultimately?
Cashing out, the other thing is that many people have more than one credit card, and the real game is, can I get you to be my preferred credit card? When you're deciding where to make that purchase, you know, what's the free prize inside? Is it cash back? Is it loyalty to a gas station, or is it loyalty to Aeroplan? I think that card's lost currency, even if the consumer hasn't yet to stampede away. I will have to believe that the Aeroplan Group is scrambling now to think what they can do legally to hold on to those members that have signed on for the TD Aeroplan card or the Amex, to say, what else can I offer them besides Aeroplan to keep them loyal, and so that we can keep that as one of those premium credit card holders. And yes, I see right now as a stampede for the doors.
Got it. Okay, well, let's get back to your broader point. And that is that the days of the catch-all loyalty programs are gone. And I guess by catch-all, I take it you're referring to the coalition programs like Air Miles and Aeroplan, where many brands participate under one platform?
I think that Aeroplan will still have an ability to be coalition, because the free prize in size, if I'm getting better access to those airline seats, I will put more of my spending on that card, because travel is still one of the most appealing things for consumers. And if they have in the back of their mind taking their family to Disney or getting away with their spouse to New York, I think they can pull off coalition. Air Miles is very different, because Air Miles, you're collecting these points, but you never feel like you can burn them. They've obviously also burned you with their brand image over the last 2 years. I think a lot of those cards are going by the wayside. You're seeing more of these centralized programs. Hey, come to Loblaw, PC Financial, give you deals on banking, groceries, and Shoppers Drug Mart. Shoppers Optimum, same kind of thing. We're very centralized, very focused. And I think that's what Air Canada is aiming to do, that they're going to make Air Canada the absolute where the spotlight's going to shine, both on their tickets and their travel. So I think that's going to be a problem. And the other thing you got to realize, and we all know what they're playing at, in the past, loyalty was about keeping your core customers loyal. Now loyalty is also about the data that comes with it. And the more you can understand about the head, heart, and hands of people that can afford to buy premium, the more value you have as an organization, not only internally to sell them more, but also externally to use that data to invite other partners to pay a premium for it.
Now, you know, we've often suggested on this show that the Air Miles expiration story wasn't just a blow to Air Miles, but rather to the whole industry, since it left so many Canadians questioning the value of these programs. So is this announcement, this Aeroplan announcement, another nail in the coffin? What do you think this does for the general population looking at these programs, wondering, is this worth it?
Yeah, I think the whole Jenga board is happening, where continually we take pieces out undermining loyalty. And it's not only what we saw with Air Miles, which is, you know, it was just brutal the way they stick handled that brand. Air Canada, obviously, but just in general, do I really get the value I think I'm getting from my loyalty? Am I getting all that cash back? Am I getting, when Starbucks changes their loyalty offer midstream, it takes you one step away from it. And I think ultimately what we'll see is that people will be rewarded for their loyalty by continuing to get some form of cash monetization. That's the value shopper, and that'll either be just by the lowest price wins, and that's where you'll get my loyalty, or some side of consolidated play like a cashback card. The value added side is going to be a little trickier, because they are so important to keep. They represent the minority of the population, but they're the majority of your profits. And you're going to have to find a way to stay competitive with your pricing, but provide the kind of value added that makes them say, you know what, all things being somewhat equal, I'm going to choose an Air Canada over a WestJet. And that's where the play is going to get very precarious, because it's expensive to put these kinds of value added into the marketplace. And at the same time, you have to protect your plank and make sure you're not getting your price too far out of line.
Got it. Well, okay, so let's talk about your advice to consumers looking to sort of trim their wallet and pick just one loyalty program. What should they be considering and looking for?
The first thing you got to look at is, how much are you paying for that premium credit card that promises you loyalty, and what do you need to spend on that card to even break even? You know, make the benefits that are tangible and then the benefits that are intangible. The tangible ones are, we give you this cash back. We give you these points that are worth X. Not X, but, oh, not available, so now they're worth less than that. So really understand the tangible value of that credit card and make sure you're getting value for money. The intangible stuff, the insurance, the softer things that you get as a preferred customer, the access to the concierge line, put a value to it, but really be honest with yourself. How often do you use that? And that's the first thing I would look at. The second thing is, if you're going to buy into a premium card that offers you that loyalty, then I would put all my, you know, the chips on the table behind it. Really take advantage to it, because you got to get through break even, because you're paying a lot of money for that card. So really leverage it. And I almost use kind of gaming technology that we see millennials do when they play with cards, and get involved and say, how do I play this game better? And I think that's what a lot of credit card companies fear, is the switchers. I'm going to sign up for that introductory offer, spend enough just to collect it, and then I'm going to move on to the next one. And that's what we're seeing a lot in the loyalty game as well. But I think the only way to play the game is, if they're setting it up as a game, then you got to be master that game and take as much advantage of what they offer. And that's my advice to your consumers.
Yeah, well, certainly our listeners, I'm sure, are nodding their heads as well on that advice. Okay, look, I guess we've got two more questions for you. The first would be, 3 years from now, when these changes take effect, what will Canada's loyalty landscape look like, in your opinion?
It's going to be very different, in the sense the days of sort of searching in your wallet and hoping you have your number or your card are going to disappear. It'll all be mobile driven, and not just in terms of storing your profile, but also your payment. So the days, the cash and credit cards are going to disappear much faster than I think people know. Who you owns the mobile device wins. It's no longer going to be five sheriffs in terms of the Canadian banks. People like Rogers and Loblaw, that feel that they have a stronger relationship with the consumer than the banks, are going to certainly put their hat into that ring and hope to hold on to it. And you're going to see that the game that wins is the ones that really make it effortless. Effortless to use, effortless to collect, effortless to redeem, and effortless to share about all the great value I'm getting out of the loyalty. If you want to be in the loyalty game, that bar is going to be raised across all four of those things. How I buy, how I redeem, how I can share it, and what do they do with my data to reward me, are all going to be key components to loyalty. The days of plastic and fumbling will be over.
All right, last question then, Tony. It's what's in your wallet? What's your favorite program, and why?
Well, I was in the agency business. I used to have Scotiabank as a client, so I had their travel reward card. But after spending 2 years with it, I realized it doesn't give me value for money. So now I've gone to their Momentum, their cashback card. And that's, to me, is the one that it's the easiest math for me to do. If I spend X, which I kind of know what I do as a small business owner, a consumer, I'll get back Y. And that gives me a rebate on it lowers my cost of living. And as boring as it sounds, to me, it's the best value for money. As exciting as travel is, and imagining that by using this card, I'm going to get to a place, I realize that when it comes to redemption, it just doesn't provide the same kick in the teeth as the cashback cards.
All right, Tony. Well, thanks so much for coming on our show and sharing your thoughts. This story, of course, is far from over. And in the coming weeks, we'll look to get some of our listeners on the show to share their thoughts and reaction to the news. And that's it for this week's show. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to check out rewardscanada.ca, where you will find links to all our bonus offers, industry news, and travel rewards credit card rankings. Until then, happy collecting, and be sure to tune in next week when we do it all over again.